You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Kale and Company weekday mornings 6 till 10.
Full board of calls to get to. It's not like I'm doing a sports show here. We're going to run the board coming up. We'll get to your calls. But first, let's get to the news. Round number 2 at 7:02. And yes, she's not going anywhere, but she's on standby with the news. The great Dawn Stensland.
And good morning, Kale and Company News Live. This September the 12th, we are sponsored by Budget Blinds this morning in Kale and Company News Live. Heavy, dense fog advisory and just warnings put out there, I guess, in Bucks and Berks counties. It's pretty bad. So it's expected to burn off by about 10 o'clock this morning. But that National Weather Service is putting out that advisory. 60 degrees, mostly cloudy this morning right now here in Kale and Company News Live. So let's look at it as we see that there was a jam-packed meeting last night in Philadelphia. In fact, the meeting that was centered around the fact that, you know, Sherelle Parker, Mayor Sherelle Parker, pushing for this Sixers arena in the city of Philadelphia in Chinatown. However, Chinatown business leaders and community leaders say that in a cultural way, this would devastate their culture and Chinatown. So packed meeting. Also, union jobs, a lot of union jobs at stake here. So some of the unions really want this as well. But that's one of the headlines this morning with Mayor Parker speaking about, you know, speaking about this and pushing for a new Sixers arena right in the heart of the city and the heart of Chinatown.
Why don't people like the sports complex? Because it's so far removed from the city. Isn't it convenient that it's all there?
I mean, it's convenient that it's all there, but I mean, that convenience, I think, is only applicable if you were going from one stadium to the next on the same day, right?
Yeah, but like, if I want to go see a Sixers game, I want to go into Center City. You know what I mean? Like,
I don't want to deal with Center City traffic, but I also don't want to deal with the parking lots and the madhouse trying to get out of the sports complex,
right.
Which I guess, in theory, it would only be worse in the city, right?
Are they guessing
it's more congested?
Are they guessing that there's more Sixers fans? More Sixers fans would go to games if it was in Center City because they could just, you know, take the subway or
I don't think it's necessarily about fan attendance because they've had pretty good attendance during the last couple of years, the last 5 years where they've been a legit, you know, playoff team. But I think it's the broader economic impact
of
the community and what the Sixers can do with businesses. It's just like, God, but that sports complex is just, it's just a concrete jungle. It's a concrete slab of three stadiums. There's nothing like, boy, look at, like, you go to Lambeau Field for the Packers. It's like right in the middle of a neighborhood. It's like next to Bob's house. We like the Packers Stadium is like in a little street in Willow Grove.
Yeah, I get it, but
yeah, I don't know the I don't know the real answer to this. I really don't.
We're not New York. Like most of you know our entire listening audience is in the suburbs, and I'm not saying that, but like this is a Philadelphia is a suburb city.
Yeah,
it just is
right.
For the mayor, you know, first of all, you're looking at, so it's a $1.5 billion arena. And so IBEW Local 98 was out there. So you had union. This is jobs. This is big for the union. So they're pro arena, just to make it clear. So,
of course.
Yeah, you picture the convention center in that area. I mean, they had people in lines up and down the street trying to get into this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Had to create extra room, open up extra. It was packed.
Yeah.
Because it's so you have the city that wants it. You have the union and you have the unions that want it because it means jobs. The number that they put out there was they said 28 out of 30 NBA teams have downtown, and Nick talked about this earlier, have downtown arenas. Mm-hmm. So they're saying this is not new. This is not problematic. Most NBA teams are in a city.
Yeah.
And they're claiming that it would mean, you know, it would be good for restaurants. It would be good for the city and businesses.
Absolutely. I mean, you think about all that extra foot traffic that you normally wouldn't have for businesses.
Well, there isn't a lot down there. You're kind of, you know, if you want to go down there right before a game or a concert or something like that, there's not a lot of options to eat at or to, you know.
No.
So I do understand. Or you're stuck, you know, paying $37 for a hot dog.
Yeah. Or a stale cheesesteak.
So New Jersey has offered, the number here has offered the Sixers $400 million in tax credits.
Wow.
And outlined those plans for the sprawling mixed-use waterfront development. So that's on the table, really puts the pressure on the city of Philadelphia.
Yeah.
So this is a huge issue, and we've been covering it, so we just want to continue to follow up on that one. Also a warning going out from, you know, law enforcement as well as the district attorney in Bucks County after this Pennsylvania man was accused of drugging and then assaulting at least half a dozen female victims, starting at the age of about 16, 17 years old, and then going up to late 20s, early 30s. The man accused here, 40-year-old Andrew Gallo of Copper Beach Lane in Bristol Township, facing quite a list of charges, including 5 counts of rape, 6 counts of possession with intent to deliver a controlled substance, 4 counts of strangulation. You know, there's the list of charges goes on and on. He went by the name Drewster420, went on a website that he's not related to. He used the website SugarDaddyMeet.com, and going on to prey upon, according to the DA's office, 17 to 30 years old. So preying on these women, allegedly, and then drugging them, slipping, you know, some serious drugs into their drinks, incapacitating them, and then accused of strangling them to the point that they passed out.
Yeah, that guy needs to have the book thrown
horrible.
At him. Yeah.
And so they believe, you know, I think that the feeling here is there could be other victims. So they're asking people to come forth. But this guy is being held right now on $5 million bail.
Yeah, he's not getting
as out of this morning.
Yeah, he can't post that.
Yeah, so a horrible situation there. We also have the situation locally, and quite a, you know, the vote went in yesterday as far as in Bucks County. I know we'll get to this. CB West, new social media policy. It's really in reaction to what has been happening, and in particular with one advisor who's the Spanish teacher of a club for students who are Muslim. Some of those postings were quite shocking to the community there in Bucks County. So now they're putting into place a new social media concept and policy, a code of conduct that would restrict students, even when they're not in school, restrict what they can say on a website that has something to do with the club or the school, and it would be disciplinary action. So that's raising, I think, red flags, why it's making national news, because some are saying, will this be challenged in a First Amendment case?
Yeah.
I know we'll talk about it moving forward.
7:30.
So, okay, 7:30 is the time we'll talk about it?
Hopefully. Card subject to change, Dawn, as they say.
So we've got Budget Blinds sponsoring our news this morning. Ready for fall, Budget Blinds is your one-stop shop for blinds, shades, shutters, custom drapery, and motorization. Visit budgetblinds.com. Get that free in-home consultation, the only no-questions-asked warranty in the entire business. When you schedule your consultation, ask about their special radio offer. So thank you, Budget Blinds, for sponsoring our news this morning. We have we also have Indeed sponsoring our forecast. We talked about the Phils sweeping the Rays, having a day off today, as Nick and Greg said, suggesting that maybe some of our Phillies would attend this evening's Don Jr. event.
Yeah, I think they should.
Cassiano's showing up.
Bring everybody. Bring the whole squad.
Come out of the closet.
Back the house.
but it's a big night for us, and it's going to be beautiful weather Not that we'll be outside for the Don Jr. Trump event. Are there still some tickets available?
I believe, I think maybe just a handful. But like if you really, really, I've waited to last minute and be like, oh, I don't know, 1210WPHT.com. I think there's still a few, but I'm not 100% sure.
Okay. So come, because we'll all be there. It'll be so much fun.
Yeah. Dawn and Nick will bring them out on stage, and it'll be a good time.
I've already got my script written. I know what I'm going to say.
Collingswood, New Jersey. You're so prepared.
I'm just going to say Collingswood, New Jersey, and everybody's going to stare and be, you know, holding their drink, and they won't react. And then I'm going to have to say it again, and then they'll get all excited. Then Dawn's going to talk. The place will go nuts. And then we'll bring out Dom and Don Jr.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
It's always the unscripted stuff that's more fun.
I agree. I need both your drink orders before...
Whiskey, the bottle.
So funny. Yeah. All right, let's get to the forecast, which is sponsored by Indeed. Today, 84 degrees. What a sunny, beautiful stretch. 84 today, 85 tomorrow, and that's tomorrow. Remember, we start a new series, our Philadelphia Phillies starting this new series with the Mets at home, 85 tomorrow. Then for the weekend, 87 and sunny on Saturday. For Sunday, 84 degrees. And even into early next week, there's not any or much precipitation in this forecast. So that lower humidity, beautiful sunny skies. So today, even though it's foggy, cloudy this morning, it's expected to burn off. And by 10 o'clock this morning, we'll see the sun come out. 64 now, heading up to 84. We are sponsored by Indeed. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Their all-in-one platform really helps you attract, interview, and hire the candidates all from one place. And Indeed's interview tool lets you schedule and conduct virtual interviews right from their website. Visit Indeed.com/credit. Kill and Company News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. Let's get to all of your calls, 855-839-1210. I actually want to start, let's go line two. We have Steve in Pennsylvania. I think he has an observation that I'm not sure I saw myself. Steve, good morning. You're on Talk Radio 1210.
Yeah, hi. One thing I'm surprised I haven't heard anybody bring up about the way ABC did the debate was with the evening news, they started a countdown clock, making it look like it started at 8.
Sure.
And at 8 o'clock, they had a panel with Jonathan Carl and three other Trump haters.
Okay.
And they were pushing all those lies that Kamala didn't get fact-checked on for a whole hour before the debate started.
Oh, okay.
It was really the Trump bashing began at 8 o'clock.
Okay.
And they even tried to advertise as though that's when the debate started.
Interesting. So yeah, that was technically
I never saw
the pregame coverage, right? The hour before the actual kickoff. Because for me, Steve, I didn't put it on until exactly 9 o'clock. And I just put my TV, because I always watch Fox News, I put on Fox, which was, of course, the ABC simulcast. So I didn't see any of this ABC pregame coverage.
I see Jonathan Carl, and I just turned. You're right. He is so nasty.
Well, I mean, I think, honestly, based on what the Newsbusters organization has shared from MRC, the Media Research Center, that analyzes pro and negative coverage of politicians, I think it's safe to say that ABC News is hands down the most lopsided from a bias standpoint. Which is remarkable because we always talk like, you know, MSNBC, Rachel Maddow, Joy Reid, and I get MSNBC, CNN, Fox News are a little different.
They don't pretend, though. That's the difference, is MSNBC is like, we have Rachel Maddow, Chris Hayes, Joy Reid. Like, we're not pretending what we are.
Right.
I mean, the NBC News banner should be completely removed from them, in my opinion, because, you know, if you're going to be a liberal news network or a liberal news talk, you know, network, that's fine. You know, there's obviously an audience for it. That's fine. But then remove the NBC title from it because it's just
the news.
Yes, yes, exactly.
Yeah. Well, to that point, I mean, if you look at ABC News, you look at CBS News, you look at NBC News, whether you watch those national feeds on a weekly, weeknight basis for that hour, hour and a half before, or like, you know, after the local news, before Jeopardy comes on and things like that, or any of those Sunday shows, like, they're not news anymore. Like, not that they ever really were, but it's so far removed and it's gone so far left that it's just propaganda.
They're still the highest rated, you know, quote-unquote news shows out there. are still those 6:30 newscasts. And ABC is the top dog with that.
Do you think that's just convenience of the timing?
I think for us in this area, 6ABC is just far and beyond, you know, the number one news network in the city. It has been for 50 years.
Yeah. Jennings, Papa, Gardner.
So they they're watching the 6 o'clock news here in Philly, and I'm assuming it's like that.
Yeah.
New York and other places too.
Yeah. 855-839-1210. Let's do Paul in Westchester. Paul, you're on Talk Radio 1210. Paul, you go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Long time listener.
Thank you.
And before I begin, I don't want to have you blowing the gasket or cracking the shell. With that being said, I want to use a boxing analogy for your fighter, Trump. Let's just use a boxing analogy.
Go right ahead.
Mainly for the fact, what's her name? The prep girl you said, Toshiba, the one who beat Kamala in the first debate. You guys was all cheering for Trump when he had her. She beat Kamala in a sparring match.
Tulsi.
So then you guys say, okay, what's her name?
Tulsi Gabbard.
Okay, yeah. So you guys were like, yeah, we got Tulsi Gabbard. She beat her in a sparring match. Yeah, yeah. So then when Trump gets her, you guys is upset because now we had George Foreman. Let's say Biden, George Foreman over the hill.
Yep.
He don't have it in him no more. So he had to pass his title off to the next one up in line, which was Kamala.
Yep.
So then you guys is like, now you guys is complaining that it wasn't the ref, that it was the judge counting the punches.
Well, no. I never ripped Tulsi or Laura Loomer. That, first of all, that was Stalker that brought those two up.
Yes, yes.
But I also don't even know that I blame Tulsi Gabbard, because I actually think, based on the demeanor that, and you're talking about that match between Tulsi and Kamala from almost 5 years ago, her demeanor and her composure was really good, and Trump didn't exude that beyond the first 15 minutes. So if she, now I have no idea what she told him, but my guess is he didn't stick to it and maybe took more of whatever Laura Loomer suggested, if that's true. Because based on hold on one second, I'll let you finish, Paul. Every time I've ever seen Tulsi Gabbard, she is always just very laid back, relaxed. She's almost a little too chill for me, but I like to have a little bit of juice, a little bit of energy. So I don't know that it's really she's the one to blame. I think the blame is actually on Trump.
Okay, so now, that's who your fighter is. Your fighter is a haymaker. He don't know how to put combinations together. He's a haymaker fighter. No matter how much you try to teach him, he want to do haymakers. So it's not his. It's not the judges who count that Kamala was floating like a butterfly, stinging like a bee.
All right, so you're going to go boxing, which I got you. So you're trying to make, and I'll let you finish because I think this is a good conversation. You are saying he's like Mike Tyson in the 90s where he tries to knock you out right away.
No, not Mike Tyson. No, not Mike Tyson, because he don't do no knockout punches. He's not that type. Mike Tyson is a brawler.
All right, so you're a boxing guy, right? So Lennox Lewis, early 2000s, pugilist specialist, right? He would jab you. He's like Roy Jones Jr. He's like Floyd Mayweather, where it's not the knockout blow.
No.
I would argue I would argue on June 27th that Trump stayed very disciplined and was just throwing jab after jab after jab. Trump didn't throw a knockout blow to Biden. He just methodically picked them apart, and then Joe self-destructed on his own because his brain is mush. Am I wrong there?
I'm not going to agree with that, but before you let me go, because I know before you let me go, let me make this point and then another point.
Go ahead.
That point, Trump is Butterbean. Remember Butterbean?
I got to let you go. Okay. Chris Christie is Butterbean. Come on, man. Butterbean.
I need to make six more points, okay? Hang on. I got to make six more points.
I know. Our audience is probably trying to Google all these boxers right now. Like, who the hell is he talking about?
Butterbean with, like,
are we really
man boobs.
Are we really comparing this to a boxing match? I mean, because
Trump, that's the thing. Trump is not a slick-talking politician. He's not. He's a guy who's a problem solver. He was a builder. He's a businessman. After running for president, that was his first gig. But the truth is, Trump is, and part of his authenticity is that, you know, you look at him and you go, well, this is not a slick talking politician. He did not memorize all of the answers. He's not a Gavin Newsom. He's not a Bill Clinton. Look at anybody.
But he should have been more prepared, correct?
I think he was prepared. Right. I think he should have been more composed. I think he just riffs. I think that's what he's listening. He's listening to what they're saying and he's reacting. And the number one rule is don't answer their questions.
He got too emotional when he took the bait from her. He took the bait from her. The end. Like, he did. And it went off the rails from there.
Yeah.
And what's everybody talking about? The eating dogs and cats. Yeah. That's what everybody's talking about. He went off the rails.
Yeah.
He took her bait, the end.
Yeah. And look, now, I get it. It's 3-on-1. And I look, honestly, you know, yes, he did take the bait, but this is why I'm not in politics. He still handled it, and this is not to say that he deserves points for it, but it's the truth. He handled it better than I would have. I would have just, and this is just me, I would have blown a gasket on the moderators. Like, I would have been like, are you going to fact? I would have been shouting over the muted mic. I would have just lost my ever-loving mind.
Guys, I'm telling you, the 15-16 Trump would have.
Would have what?
Would have done that to the moderator. She's done it in the past.
So
he's done more debates than anybody in the history of politics.
So are you saying he should have done that?
Yes.
Okay. Because you're saying
he has in the past.
Well, yeah. So you're saying he went off the rails, which results in a loss for him.
He went off the rails in a way that he shouldn't have. He should have directed his anger and ire towards the moderator.
So no dogs and cats, but just attacking the moderator.
100%.
Okay. I just want to clarify where your position is. All right.
I think that his demeanor in not engaging with the I think that part of the strategy, if I look at it, part of the strategy is that he's, if you watch that and you've been told that this guy is Hitler, this guy is going to scream at everybody and he's a bully. Did you see a bully? Did he bully? He did not.
No, I can't say he did.
He was not screaming. He was not a bully. He was not any of those things. And so I think that was by design, and I actually think it worked. I think that if anybody watched even the first half hour, whatever they consumed of it, they did not see a bully. They did not see somebody who is being called over the top and crazy and ranting. He didn't do it.
Yeah, I mean, much like the, and maybe this is because I'm not spending as much time on social media anymore because wife and kids are there and I just don't have the time. I did not see, like Stocker said yesterday, or when you guys brought up in the news, Don, you brought it up in the news about that animal story. I didn't know that story existed, whether it's fake or not fake. I didn't even know of it. But I also didn't know about this. I mean, I know Laura Loomer is, and I don't really care for her. But I didn't know that she has been working with the Trump campaign.
He's doing himself no favor.
I totally agree.
With her by his side. Ugh. He's just not. And yeah, I know all the, you didn't know what you're talking about. Okay, great. Because it was, I'm sure it was her that fed him that dogs and cats story. Ugh. I'm sure it was her. And that is all anybody's talking about today. So like, I just don't understand why it's so hard for people to admit that like, he had a bad debate.
I disagree that it was bad. I do.
Okay. He went off the. Okay. It's whether it matters now is.
It was not bad.
Is okay. All right. All I'm saying is that he is. Whether it matters in the election or not, who knows?
Yeah.
Like, we don't know. The polls really haven't changed since the debate, so nobody knows.
What I'm saying,
he had a bad debate.
What really matters, though, is he has said that he has learned from his first time, right? He's not going to surround himself with certain people. And that applies to people, you know, the bureaucrats, the swamp creatures, who you can trust. Okay, that's great. If you get in office, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. But, dude, attaching yourself to Laura Loomer is a losing endeavor.
It is, 100%. Any of these social media people, and I know, like, we got ripped yesterday. Any of these social media people, they're not your friends. Yeah. Just stop. Stop listening to them. Stop believing them. Somebody's like, they've done more for the conservative movement. No, they haven't. How many elections have you won since 16? You know what I mean? They're not doing any favors for you. Stop listening to them.
I think the bigger issue here with the Springfield, Ohio story is that, you know, you think of somebody who's very prepared, somebody like Kayleigh McEnany, who would always have her binder and have, you know, all of the information on Springfield, Ohio, that story,
right,
is that under a Republican governor, Mike DeWine, Mike DeWine and his family have a relationship with a Haitian bishop after the tragic death of their daughter, Becky. And they opened up that pipeline. They welcomed wonderful Haitian people escaping a gang-ridden, you know, horrible situation in Haiti, and welcomed people to Ohio who are and were welcomed. This is why I wish that Trump, as well as Republicans, need to own this. That, in other words, Republican Mike DeWine and Republicans in Ohio support the good folks who want to come and leave a horrible, you know, situation in Haiti. The problem with Biden-Harris's border policies is they have welcomed in these wolves in sheep's cloth who are coming into communities across America. Where do they live? Where do they reside? Within that migrant community, okay, within the, you know, 98% of good people. And who do they prey first upon? The migrant community.
Yeah.
And so that's really, if Trump could embrace that going on, then, because a lot of those Haitians in Ohio are Republican. They're conservatives. They know what a horrible government is, right? They know what a repressive, oppressive government is. So that's really, I think, the layered approach here. And so somebody who is, and I don't, Laura Loomer, whoever, some people will give one snapshot, but it's really not a sophisticated long-form view that would allow Trump to articulate that situation and therefore make sure that nobody can say, oh, he's broad brush stroking all migrant people. I don't think that's what he's doing.
Right.
You have to go back and look at those debates with Hillary Clinton and, you know, him in the primaries. Like, he just, he tore them up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just amazing.
Yeah.
And he's just, like, it's, he needs to go back to that.
Yeah.
And,
go back and watch the old footage.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Run the footage back.
Yeah.
Say, hey, remember when you did this?
Yeah.
That's what he needs to do. I just don't understand this whole, like, we, like, these people that, like, sugarcoat everything. Say, well, you know, it wasn't that bad. No, it was bad. It was bad.
I don't think it was bad.
Okay. There's two different conversations here. It was bad for him. Whether it matters or not is a completely different story.
Right.
Whether it changed anybody's opinion is a completely different story.
You can say he lost the debate, but not say what Frank Luntz has said, that he lost the election.
Exactly.
855-839-1210. We'll come back. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back and talk for 9 seconds, take another break, and then we'll get to the cut sheet, I promise, coming up.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
Live on this Thursday morning, Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Nick Kale, Don Stenzel, and Greg Stocker. 855-839-1210. Cut sheet coming up 7:45. Let's continue up with these calls. Let me go. I'm going to get both of these guys in here. You know, let me start with Gary. Who he claims to be Gary from the Dominican Republic. I know he's an anti-Trump guy. I'm going to give him his chance to get his pound of flesh. Gary, good morning. Welcome back.
Actually, I'm an anti-fascist guy, but then let's just keep it right here. You have a presidential candidate that wants to be president of the United States running around with a racist like Loomer. Really? Really?
I don't.
You know what?
That's just like
excuse
Loomer.
Me. Excuse me. Gary.
Don't excuse me. Don't disrespect me on my show. This is my spot, not yours. This is not the Gary from Dominican Republic show. So don't shout me down because I'll zip you quicker than you know what hit you. Now continue. Go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I don't know if I want to go with your lack of reality or your lack of intelligence, but I'll go with the lack of reality.
So you went insult, so now I'm going to interrupt you again. The last caller that brought up boxing analogies was respectful, so I let him continue. If you're not going to respect me, I'm going to zip you. So don't question my integrity, because if you listen to the show from Dominican Republic yesterday, I buried Trump for taking a loss yesterday. So don't question my objectivity. Got it?
Oh, yes, I can. Because
you put it on display. No, you can't, because I took heat yesterday for sharing the truth on this show. I didn't kiss Donald Trump's ass yesterday, okay? He lost the debate.
Point taken.
Does not mean he lost the election. So you want to come with facts, come with facts. But you will not try steamrolling me on my show. But go ahead. I'm going to give you your chance. Make an astute point. I know you don't like Trump. That's fine. Half of America doesn't. So you are saying to me on my call screener that people were exposed to the real Donald Trump. That's fine. That's fine. Everybody knows Donald
Trump.
And
that's who he always...
We already know what Donald Trump is. Whether you love him or hate him, we know everything about him. My counter to you is, what did we learn about Kamala Harris?
Oh, well, we learned she's a prosecutor. We learned that she's going to spend all of her time concentrating on us as opposed to concentrating on petty grievances.
Okay,
and we know,
so she's going to concentrate on you. Explain to me what she said she would do for you with the economy or any pertinent issue. And don't tell me opportunity economy. Explain to me what that means.
Can I answer that, please?
You go right
ahead. Okay. How that is important to me is that when I come back to Philadelphia, there will be funds available for me to start a business because she says she's going to give a tax break. Mm-hmm. Also, when I hire people in Philadelphia after I start that business, the people that work there, they'll get a break too, because if they have children, they'll probably have a tax credit. Hold on.
Were you in Philadelphia or in this country in 2017 when Donald Trump gave tax credits to every class? Tax breaks to every class, not just the billionaires like she claims?
I left the United States in 2020. Okay. So, yes, I was there.
Okay.
So
let me ask you this. Would you argue that it was easier to start a business in 16, 17, 18, or 19 as opposed to what it is right now? Rent 30% higher, purchasing a property to start a business, forget leasing
property.
Can I
counter that?
Yes, absolutely.
Can I counter that?
Absolutely.
Everything is higher. When I go to places like, I mean, here, when I go to places like Canada, when I go to places like Liverpool, everything is higher. So it's not just isolated to the United States. It's the whole globe.
Gary, I don't care about the globe. I live in the United States. Gary, that's like saying the Raiders have a quarterback problem. I don't care about the Raiders. I care about the Eagles. When I used to work with Tony Bruno, he said, "Oh, every team deals with this." I don't care about every other team. I care about my team, and I care about my country. I don't care what the economy is like in Italy or Timbuktu. Don't care.
And by the way, the Trump tax cuts, you know, the ones that expire in 2025, those across the board, I can only imagine if we didn't have those tax cuts, what we'd be dealing with right now. So the Trump tax cuts, which expire in 2025, they're the Trump tax cuts.
Yes.
He cut taxes for everybody.
And I want to read this because I had the 25 lies that Kamala Harris shared during the debate that went unopposed by those ABC hacks. Two things. Number one, Trump's tax cuts. Quote, Harris falsely insinuated that the 2017 tax cuts approved by the Trump administration disproportionately benefited America's billionaires and corporations. My mother-in-law regurgitates that all the time. Why does he always want to help out all his billionaire buddies and not the everyday person? It's not true. Right here, data produced by the IRS has shown that, quote, on average, all income brackets benefited substantially from the Republicans' tax reform law, with the biggest beneficiaries being working and middle-class filers as in filing your taxes, not just the top 1%. That is according to Justin Haskins of The Hill. And the last time I checked, The Hill is not necessarily friendly to conservatives, Trump supporters, or Republicans. So this notion that, small businesses are being squashed during Bidenomics, okay? You know why? Have you gone to a pizza shop lately? Why is it that Domino's can charge $12 for a pie, but Frank's and Bluebell's charging $22? Because they don't have the purchasing power that the big corporations do, and the little nickel and dime mom and pop spots have had to charge exponentially more because of inflation and energy cost increases. That's why. So this notion that Kamala Harris is going to help the middle class is a load of crap, because her and Joe have had 3 years and 10 months to help the middle class. And I want you to realize this, there's almost no middle class left anymore. There's the 1% and everybody else, and almost everybody else is not doing nearly as good as they claim in these fake economies. But Gary, you can call all you want. We'll debate. Just don't disrespect me and don't tell me I'm a Trump kiss ass, because I'm not. I buried him yesterday for losing the debate. That was my opinion. I owned it yesterday. I own it today. And I will always give you my honest opinion. because I don't collect checks from the GOP or the RNC. Cut sheet coming up next. Stay there.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
A couple of calls still to get to. I promise we'll get to you here before we wrap up the 7 o'clock hour of the cut sheet. But let's get a clip or two in to start, and then we'll come back to your calls in just a moment. 7:52, time for a Thursday installment of What's on the Cut Sheet.
What's on the Cut Sheet?
What's on the Cut Sheet on this Thursday is brought to you by Cherry Hill Volvo. Enjoy back-to-school savings on a 36-month lease of 2024 front-wheel drive S60 for $369 per month. Down payment, registration fees, and taxes due at inception. Cherry Hill Volvo, where relationships matter. Thank you, Cherry Hill Volvo, for sponsoring the Thursday edition of What's on the Cut Sheet. Okay, this is this clip is from CBS This Morning. This is a former Hillary Clinton voter who cried when she lost in 2016.
Okay.
Who's she voting for now? Cut 18, Phil, go.
This election, would you say your mind is made up?
Yes.
And that is?
Trump.
Okay. Are you a previous Trump supporter?
The first year he won in 2016, I was not.
Did you vote for Hillary?
I did vote for Hillary, okay. But I cried when she did not win.
Okay. Then what happened?
And then I just felt like he did a good job. I liked the fact that he was not a politician.
You believe you were better off 4 years ago?
Oh, absolutely. Small business owner Andrew Singrati backs Trump, too.
Oh, small business owner like Gary in the Dominican Republic aspires to be one day. So let me get this straight. A former Hillary Clinton female voter who cried her eyes out after Hillary lost,
mm-hmm.
8 years later is ready to vote and will vote for Donald Trump. All right, so that is, now I don't know if she ever had Trump derangement syndrome, which I really actually do think is, should be a clinical diagnosis in the DSM-4 manual of mental health illnesses. Maybe when they publish it again, they'll put that in there on like page 973. But if a former Hillary voter that cried can come around and vote for Trump, anything's possible, folks. I mean, I know we mock people with TDS and we play the Roseanne clips and Rosie O'Donnell and, you know, all these other people that have a platform like Joy Behar, which we'll get to in a little bit. But it's possible. I it's not common. I think she is probably one of the few, the rare. But again, I'll go back to the stats we cited in the first hour. Again, three states, 42,000 votes. That's why I say, hey, if Trump goes up 2% here, 6% there, 8% there in certain demographics, that could be the whole ball of wax. I mean, it is very volatile. It's very finicky. It's not much one way or the other. Harry Enten, who I like on CNN from a polling perspective, has said if the polls are off by a point, the outcome is entirely different. So I think that's interesting to see. And it's encouraging. I like that. Kudos to that lady.
Cut three here, Phil. This is from TikTok, I believe. This is a couple days old, but, you know.
You've been sitting on a lot of stuff that you haven't even been able to get to.
Yeah, I know, because of the debate. This is a former supporter of Hillary and Obama who fundraised for the Democrats. She explains why she no longer supports the party. Cut three, Phil, go.
A few weeks ago, I went to the Democratic National Convention, and a few days after I got home, I posted a video stating that I didn't want to be a part of the Democratic Party anymore. But before I get into why, I want to first address all of the people who have been saying that I'm lying, that I'm a secret Republican, and that I haven't actually been working in Democratic politics off and on since 2008.
By the way, would.
I just want to say that just because I might have a picture with someone in this video does not necessarily mean that I worked for them directly, but it does mean that I met them due to my work in Democratic politics. I started out in 2008. I was a Hillary supporter and then switched to Obama when he won the nomination. I interned on his campaign. In 2015, I worked briefly as a field organizer for Hillary. After Trump was elected, I started working again as a fundraiser on multiple U.S. House congressional campaigns. 3 more years, I worked at a progressive fundraising firm, also based in D.C., where I was the fundraising consultant for several U.S. Senate campaigns, dozens of House races, and multiple Democratic organizations. I was really good at my job and raised literally tens of millions of dollars for Democratic candidates. I've never actually added it up, but I would guess that I've raised at least $30 million and up for Democrats. And the funny thing for me throughout this whole experience is just the genuine lack of curiosity that I'm hearing from Democrats about why I no longer feel like I fit in with their party. Instead of asking me like how I've come to this conclusion, they have just bashed me and accused me of being a paid actress.
Yeah.
And by the way, I know that there are other Democrats who feel the same way that I do because they've actually reached out to me in the last couple of weeks. In private, they have said things to me like, I've always wanted to post a video like you did this week, but I've always been too afraid. I've been afraid that it would cost me my job. The hypocrisy is my main problem with the Democrats. I know that Republicans also have these issues, okay? But they're the party that I've worked for, and the hypocrisy is just so much more glaringly clear. There is a massive difference between what they say and what they do. Hypocrisy goes on and on. While I was working in Democratic politics, I found that the majority of the people, not all of them, but a lot of the people that actually get the jobs on campaigns come from the Ivy League or their family has donor connections.
Yep.
They're not actually like real people from middle America. I was kind of an anomaly, actually. There has been a toxic weaponization of identity politics within campaigns that has also completely turned me off. I'll probably do another whole other video on that. But basically, especially since 2020, I have been just assaulted by people that I'm supposed to be on the same team as over like these petty identity related infighting and disagreements.
There you go.
Folks, right there, that's wife material. Lock her up if she's single. Wow. And yes, Wood as well. By the way, did you see her holding hands with Mayor Pete?
Yep.
When she was doing the progressive fundraising?
Yep.
I'm pretty sure Mayor Pete would not. But to the actual content, I mean, she's accurate with so much, and she's not alone. I mean, let's just start with the two most notorious people at the top, actually three, that have joined forces with Trump: Elon Musk, Tulsi Gabbard, RFK, all either former Democrats or liberals or left-leaning or at best or worst case, a centrist. So I do think that's another. And I'd like to actually see not just clips, because you see one person and you're like, oh, there's got to be 30 million of those. It's not 30 million. But I would like to get some in this analytical world we live in of numbers and numbers and numbers and stats. I'd like to see how many people have actually kind of taken the same path she has.
Yeah.
I'd love to get some true concrete data on that. I really would.
CNN yesterday, I think this was Jake Tapper, blasted Kamala Harris for dodging multiple questions on the economy, border, and other issues.
You said this was Jake Tapper?
I think this was CNN, at least. Oh. Cut 14, Phil, go.
Oh boy, our system's crapping out.
Oh, no, it's my fault. It's my fault. Oh. Phil, start it over. That's my fault. I had the pot down. It's my fault, man.
Vice President Harris began the debate by punting the first question on the economy.
Do you believe Americans are better off than they were 4 years ago?
So I was raised as a middle class kid, and I am actually the only person on this stage who has a plan that is about lifting up the middle class and working people of America.
It went on from there. Despite the economy being the number one issue facing the country, the sitting vice president generally reverted to talking points about a few of her policy proposals. Even Harris allies today are saying that she needs to talk more about what she will do for Americans if elected. Senator Bernie Sanders will be here in a second to talk about more about the need for her to fill in some of those blanks. On the border, another vulnerable issue for Harris, she also dodged.
Would you have done anything differently from President Biden on this?
So I'm the only person on this stage who has prosecuted transnational criminal organizations for the trafficking of guns, drugs, and human beings.
Okay, that wasn't the question. When asked how she would break through the Israel-Hamas war stalemate, Harris said this.
We need a ceasefire deal and we need the hostages out. And so we will continue to work around the clock on that.
Okay, but again, how?
So he's gone, he's reverted back from fake scrapper to Jake Tapper. And I got to tell you, since June 27th, I don't have a gripe with Tapper. I think he's been relatively respectable, actually, showing some journalistic integrity as far as challenging the Democrat candidate in Kamala Harris. And again, you know, this is what I'm talking about. She word salads her, and this is, you know, politics 101 for sure. But again, if the goal was to keep her a mystery after the debate, well, then goal accomplished, mission achieved. But you can't sit there and tell me that 31% of American registered voters out there that were surveyed that said they don't know anything about her came away knowing anything about what she stands for policy-wise. And I'm glad that Tapper brought up I'm so sick of the prosecutor thing. That's what Gary from the Dominican Republic tried to do. Well, I know she's a prosecutor. But in what way does that answer the question or make you qualified to be president of the United States? Your job for the next 4 or 8 years, God forbid, knock on wood, is not to prosecute people. Your job is to lift America up, make America a great country, a safe country, make us respected on the global stage, and on down the list of all the things that are the job duties and requirements of a president. I'm sorry, I don't care that she was a prosecutor. I also, and this is like when people bring up Trump's business acumen. Now, I give Trump credit because I think he ran the nation not like a politician, but like a businessman. But I don't care what Donald Trump built in 1987. I don't care that he launched a hotel with great towel thread fabrics. That means nothing to me. I care about what you do while you're in office. And when Donald Trump was in office, my life was better. Point blank, period.
The co-chair for the Commission on Presidential Debates is a guy by the name of Frank Farenkoff. He was on with Greta Van Susteren last night, saying that the ABC moderators bent over backwards to help Harris. Cut 16, Phil, go.
That really shocked me last night was the way the moderators handled it. You know, we always explain to our moderators, and we've done 33 of those, Greta, starting back in 1988, that their job is to be facilitators. They're not to get involved themselves. It's different than if you had someone on your show and you asked them a question and they answered in a different way than they'd said a month before, you would correct them. But moderators are not supposed to do that. A debate is between the candidates, not a debate between the candidate and the moderators. And these moderators, as so far as I was concerned, it was the worst performance that I've seen. And I've done 33 of these things over the years. I don't know what their thoughts were, but they clearly were oversized, I think, on the way they treated the former president and the way they treated the present vice president. I think they bent backwards to help her.
Boy, I totally agree. We had that caller before the first guy who wanted to go with the boxing analogies. I'll give you another football analogy. This is like a football game where the refs become the story. Or like, you remember, if you're a Phillies baseball fan, you're going to remember this name. Remember the umpire, Cowboy Joe West? He always became a part of the show.
Yep.
Nobody that shows up at a sporting event is paying their hard-earned cash to see umpires and referees become the storyline. I mean, the best compliment you can get as an official is to go unnoticed. And this was like a football game where Kansas City was repeatedly allowed to do what they want. And the Eagles got flagged 14 times. And Trump was the Eagles. Trump was not officiated remotely fairly. And Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes got every break under the sun. I totally agree. And I think most people agree with that.
Last night on CNN, Van Jones urges Kamala Harris to close the deal and do more interviews. Cut 19, Phil, go.
She's going to go out there, and is Donald Trump going to do to her what he's done to so many other people? This guy has eaten presidential hopefuls like Tic Tacs. He's been the Pac-Man of politics, destroying people.
Wow.
Kamala Harris went out there, whooped his butt, and made it look easy. Made it look easy. And so in that regard, that is information. Can she deal with a Putin? Yes. Can she deal with a tough situation, with pressure, with crisis? Yes. Now, she has to now close the deal. People who before were Kamala curious are like, okay, you know, she handled Donald Trump. But they still have unanswered questions. Listen, if you're Kamala Harris right now and you're listening, talk to reporters now. Talk to everybody. If you can handle Donald Trump, a raging bull, if you can be the matador against this crazy person, you can talk to a reporter. Get out here. Let people ask you the tough questions. You can do it. And I think you can start closing the deal with the people who are Kamala curious, but you still don't know what she's going to do for them.
Okay. Two things I disagree with on Van Jones. Two I agree with. Number one, Pac-Man of politics. Love it. Yeah, it should be copyrighted, trademarked. If I'm Trump, he's the Pac-Man of politics. He eats up politicians. Phenomenal analogy there. Secondly, yes, I do think she had the better night. But give me a break with Putin. Give me a break with Xi. Give me a break with Iran, the Middle East. And here's why I say that. And I'm willing to change on that. I'll if she can step into the ring on Fox News in a hostile environment, like Trump has had to do for 9 straight years, and walk out of that debate like she did Tuesday night, then I will sit there and say, all right, a Zoom call with Xi or Putin, she'll probably be able to hold her own. But she does not get the backbone credit from me yet because that was a 3-on-1 fight. That would be like Greg, Dawn, and I in a 3-on-1 match destroying Phil Omquist and then pounding our chest. Well, it was 3-on-1. I mean, give me a break. That's like somebody like in society when like you see these little pack mentalities and they gang up and they jump somebody. That doesn't make you tough. That doesn't make you tough. So now if she could walk into Fox, beat Trump in a debate with Hannity down her throat for 90 minutes, then Van Jones can say that. But until then, stop.
I'm glad you brought that up because we've discussed a lot about if there will be a second debate. And I want to give credit to the person who tweeted this. So let me find it for a second because I didn't know you were going here. Brian Lawrence. Brian Lawrence writes, second debate idea, a joint Fox News MSNBC debate. Each nominee picks a moderator to ask questions to the other side.
Well, that's what I said yesterday. I said we need to have one conservative-leaning moderator and one liberal. I think I threw out two examples yesterday. I said, what, Hannity and Kristen Welker and Jesse Waters and Lester Holt, I think, were my two combinations.
Dawn, what do you think of that idea with the two different sides?
I think that's fine. Yeah. I don't want, first of all, the ABC moderators were a disgrace, especially Lindsay Davis interjecting herself. And if you're going to fact check, you have to fact check both sides, and that takes up time.
Yeah.
So my suggestion is have a fact checking panel and say, hey, we're going to let them speak, let them spar, and we will have fact checking, and we'll go through all of that either after, or they can do it visually on the screen, whatever, or they can stream it online. But to interject one side or the other, it was disgraceful, and it was actually the fact checking in some instances was not fully correct.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
And we've gone through all of that.
Sure.
So to me, I don't know. I'm split on this. Of course, selfishly, we would love to see a second debate. But on the other hand, I don't know who makes it fair. I don't know who is, I don't know who is fair anymore.
That's the
real problem.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's nobody fair. Impartiality is basically gone in this, 50-50 split country that we live in. But I would say this, yes, ABC, obviously, I think the biggest joke of all from the three, combatants, so to speak, which, by the way, and network and moderators should never be combatants. But maybe the biggest loser in all of this was the American people. I mean, what was really accomplished on Tuesday night? It turned into a dog and pony show. You can say what you want about the June 27th debate being a train wreck from the Biden standpoint, for sure. But, if you tuned in, and let's remove our opinions, our knowledge, the fact that we... So if you just tuned in as somebody who's been in a coma for the last 5 months and you wanted to gain knowledge, you turned that on and tuned in and you're like, okay, yeah, American politics is a total S show, just like I assumed, right?
Yeah. An exile in Jersey writes, I think everyone is freaking out over nothing. Who is saying that Harris won the debate? The corporate media, everything about the Harris campaign is a Hollywood production. Should we underestimate the opposition? No. Vote like your life depends on it.
Thank you.
Well, agreed. Vote yes. I mean, Nobody should be taking anything for granted. And I don't know how you can. On either side, by the way. That includes Democrats that have every advantage under the sun. If you're a Democrat, here's what you have to be worried about. You have all these built-in advantages that slant the field substantially in your favor and still only were able to technically win by 42,000 votes 4 years ago. They're no shoe-in either. So they shouldn't be pounding their chest thinking they've got it locked up either, because that is not the case. Yeah. And they take advantage of all the stuff like mail-in ballots. So there you go. We'll grab a few calls here, as I promised, and then we'll continue with the cut sheet. Bill is in Montgomery County, and he has some thoughts. Looks like he agrees with Stocker, which is one of the first times anybody's ever done so.
What?
Bill!
No, Greg, I got to give it to you, my man.
Oh, wow.
Trump was awful, you know, and there's no glossing over how bad that was. So I got to hand one to you.
Thank you. I guess I don't take pleasure in that. You know what I mean? Like I'm just calling it as I see it. We're not like, this is not the show for you, not for you, Bill, but this is not the show for you if you just want sugar-coated things and people to lie to you. Like there are other hosts, there are other social media people, there are other places that you can get that from. This is not that place.
Or the type of multi-voice show where it's two or three or four microphones, co-hosts, whatever you want to call it. Everybody's got an open mic on this show. It's not 80-20 or it's 33-33-33. How often do all three of us agree on something?
Is that correct? 33? Yeah, I guess 33-33-33.
Yeah. One-third of the pie.
Dawn, how's your pie?
My pie is good.
Sorry.
I like my rhubarb rhubarb pie a certain way, Mr. Stocker. And I like a nice glass of milk on the side. Thank you. Mike is in the Lehigh Valley, my old stomping grounds. Mike, you're on Talk Radio 1210.
Hey, guys. I'm a big fan of the show. This is my second time calling in. The first time was during the Dawn show. Dawn referred to me as a very respectful, classic liberal. I agree with you guys on some things, but you know, healthcare, we'll just have to, you know, disagree and walk away respectfully.
That's fine.
But I voted for Hillary the first time. Just couldn't get past the character of Trump and such. But the economy, I think he did amazing on, and foreign policy, which means a lot to me. I'm almost kind of a libertarian when it comes to foreign policy, and I hated the Bush and Obama wars. Mm-hmm. and he really put an end to those. He's like the first president in 70 years to not start a new war. So you have to be pragmatic, I think, when it comes to Trump. And Kamala, she hasn't been voted for at all. She's a propped up candidate, and in a democratic republic, it's very dangerous. She has oligarchy and military industrial complex written all over her. Mm-hmm. And I'm just kind of worried about that. And anyway,
let me ask you this, Mike. This is great. So you voted Hillary in 16. Can you tell me who you voted for in 20? And more importantly, who were you voting for here in 24?
I actually voted for Trump in 20 because I just thought he did a good job. And I just didn't think Biden was capable. And sure enough, his presidency has kind of proved me right. I knew Putin was not going to invade Ukraine. He said it in interviews. He knew he wanted him to, Putin wanted to, but he said, no, you're not going to do it. And he was very good on foreign policy. He actually talked to Putin. The worst thing in politics and foreign policy to ever happen is to not talk. And he did that with North Korea. He did that with, if you're not having somebody at the table, it's very dangerous. Bad things happen. Bush 43 didn't talk to Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. And then what happened 8 years later, he had 13 or 14,000 centrifuges to enrich uranium. When you don't talk at all, it's very bad. And I hope my fellow liberals kind of realize foreign policy and international relations are very, very important.
Yeah.
And we have to be pragmatic.
Okay.
Know?
Well, Mike, I appreciate the call, man. Well said. And there's another one that, you know, typically is not in the Trump column and has gone that way.
I know conservatives or conservatives who did not vote for Trump because of what Mike just said. And that's why I made the point earlier that when you look at Trump now, especially in that debate where you had a mainstream audience, did he come off as a bully? Did he come off as crazy? Did he come off as over the top? He did not. He came off in many ways, and I think that's why a lot of Trump supporters are saying he lost or he didn't do as well as they thought, because he came off as a regular guy. But the truth is his demeanor is on point. His demeanor that he's respectful. And I know we'll get into the visual of even after the debate, day two, Harris and Trump met for the second time. And that was, you know, in honor of September 11th. They were gathered there and then came back here to Pennsylvania, by the way, as the commemorations went on for September 11th. But you see him in that video and he's very respectful and shaking her hand and he's cordial. Those images are important because they are in direct contrast with people who say, yo, this guy's crazy. He's over the top. You don't want him with the nuclear codes, etc. So all of this week, I think, is a win for Trump.
Okay.
Getting a lot of reactions, and I'll get back to the cuts in just 1 second. Getting a lot of reactions both on the phone, on YouTube, on emails, Twitter. A lot of people want to weigh in, which is good. You know, it's what we're here for. Somebody writes in, actually, this was somebody left a voicemail, but I can't play the voicemail because, you know, but I can read it. I am so disappointed with WPHT. It's gone straight downhill. Uh-oh.
Okay.
I'm listening to Kale and Company early in the morning, and he had the nicest, most respectful caller call in, and he just went off and started yelling in every which direction, not addressing the man's concerns directly. Okay. Double-talking, lying, manipulating. It's, you know, you've got to get some quality people in there, not these blowhards who throw their weight around.
Okay.
It's just really disrespectful.
Okay, so number one, well, we can...
He's gone, by the way. And by the way, I believe this is probably... I'm guessing this is probably the caller who called in.
Oh, that I eviscerated Gary?
Yeah.
And look, we can... See, I had two anti-Trump calls. You want to compare Gary from the Dominican Republic to the guy that called... I forget where he was from, that had all the boxing analogies.
Yep.
He was respectful.
Or Mike in Lehigh Valley was, yes, didn't agree with us.
Mike was super respectful, and that's fine. And I'm not treating him differently because he's a liberal that saw the light and voted for Trump. But the guy with the boxing analogies was a Kamala Harris supporter. Remember, he brought up Tulsi Gabbard and things like that. And how long did I keep that call for? That was, 4 minutes?
Yep.
You were like, why don't we ask 6 more questions, right? Like, I eventually have to move on from a caller.
Yep.
But we had a healthy back and forth. And by the way, for the record, Gary from the Dominican Republic, the first time he called about a month ago or 6 weeks ago, he and I had a very healthy back and forth. The only reason I'm going to go off on anybody, and I don't typically yell at anybody, is just don't question my integrity.
Yep.
Because I call it how I see it.
Yep.
I'm a Trump supporter. I love Trump. I've got Trump bumper stickers on my truck. But I'm not going to blow smoke up your keister.
You said this yesterday. I don't know if it was on Twitter. I wish you would stop responding to people on Twitter and do it for the radio. But that's a separate situation. It's a separate thing. But you said, like, the most disrespectful thing I can do to my audience is to lie to them.
Yes. I'm not going to hold my audience's hand and lie to them. These are all adults.
Yep.
If my objective opinion, whether I'm wrong or not, I don't care if I'm wrong.
Yep.
But I'm going to give you my honest opinion. If that hurts your feelings, I can't help you.
Well, you played this earlier. I'm going to play it again. This is Frank Luntz, pollster, and his bad hair piece. We're on with Piers Morgan. And discussing the debate, and he says he's going out on a limb here, and he says that the debate cost Trump the election. This is cut 5. They'll go.
Do you think Kamala won, and does that mean she may now win the election?
I think more accurately is that Donald Trump lost. And this is not the worst debate performance I've seen in my career, but it's very close to it. The conversations about people eating dogs and cats, calling the leader of Hungary one of the greatest world leaders, repeatedly missing the opportunity to focus on inflation and affordability, and the complete inability to present his point of view without completely tearing into her, into Joe Biden, into whomever was in his sights. It was a pretty negative performance, pretty pessimistic, cynical, contemptuous. And I think that this will cost him. Yes, I'm trying to decide if I want to go on record. And the answer is yes. I think that that he loses because of this debate performance.
Wow. Well, you're right. I never realized that that is a toupee. My God, come on, Frank. Terrible. You just embrace the bald with the beard. It's a good look. Yeah, you just, if you need any tips, you know, shoot me a text.
So bad.
You know, look, here's the thing. If you thought going into Tuesday night that this debate mattered and you thought it was a coin flip election-wise, if you believe Harris had the better night, then yeah, you can arrive at the conclusion that Harris is going to win on November 5th. I'm not going there yet. I said I think right now it's probably small advantage Harris. But we are 54 days out. How many things have changed since June 27th? How many more things will change between now and November 5th? But ultimately, here's why I can't go where Frank Luntz has gone. We've seen, go through the calendar of all the major events, and really the polling does not significantly change. Trump, whether he poops his pants or finds the cure for cancer, he's going to be between 45 and 48%. Yep. He's been in that range consistently for years now. Kamala Harris, I think, can be more volatile in theory, but the numbers are showing us that she's not skewing super one way or the other. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, yes, there's time, and maybe I'm contradicting myself, but I don't know what really could change, because it seems like most people are dug in, and it's probably just the rerun of 2020 then. It's going to come down to a couple of thousand voters in Pennsylvania, Georgia, and the blue wall states, and then specifically, PA will probably decide the whole ball of wax.
Yesterday was the 23rd anniversary. I hate to use the anniversary. Commemoration.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, Dawn uses the commemoration one. That's the right word, I think.
Of September 11th, the widow of a deceased New York City firefighter, fire chief, called out President Joe Biden during her speech at the annual Remembrance for Victims. Yesterday morning, Biden, along with the Vice President Kamala Harris and former President Donald Trump, all attended the somber ceremony at Ground Zero with family members and loved ones of the victim. Joanne Barbera, widow of Gerard Barbera, an assistant chief in the New York City Fire Department, criticized the president for comments he made about 9/11 at the White House earlier this week, shortly before the presidential debate. In case you don't know what he said he was rattling off some things he was going to do, and then he said, "And then I got to do 9/11."
Yeah.
And a lot of people took offense to that, like, do 9/11.
Like, yeah.
Okay. So,
like, look at your watch.
Yeah, exactly. So this is as they were reading off the names of the people who died, that's when she went into this about President Biden. Cut 10, Phil, go.
My husband of 30 years was one of them. It is outrageous that our government would ever entertain the thought of granting the terrorists a plea deal. If not for the outcry of the 9/11 community, who knows what might have transpired. It has been 23 years, and the families deserve justice and accountability. The elected officials here today show their respect and reverence to the families on September 11th. Or, in our president's words, do 9/11. Quite a flippant remark. Mm-hmm. But please remember that the September 11th families live it every day, not just on the anniversary.
It's one thing if you say to your buddy, hey, you want to do 7/11? You don't say, I want to do 9/11. Unconscionable that anybody would offer a plea deal to somebody that either concocted the plan, executed the plan, whatever you want to call it, to slaughter 3,000 Americans. I don't accept that. I don't forgive that. I will not forget that. And I'll just say this when it comes to 9/11. I read this story yesterday. This was from not the New York Post, not the Times. It might have been New York Magazine, something New York. 17,000 people that risked their life on 9/11 as a first responder, police, fire, paramedics, are living now with cancer from what they breathe, they were, you know, what they consumed.
Yep.
from that fuel-powered just... I mean, I'll never forget, I lived in Southside Easton, right along the exit of I-78, and it's only a mile from the Delaware River, and you cross into Phillipsburg, New Jersey. And it's about a 70-mile drive from that point to New York City, and I could see the smoke in Easton, Pennsylvania, 70 miles away. I will never forget that image. Just an awful, awful sight.
At the time, I remember my Uncle Don, who was still alive, longtime firefighter, and he, that morning, as I was at CBS3 locally, and Uncle Don, I was talking to him, and he said, those firefighters know that these towers are built to go down, in other words, like an implosion,
mm-hmm.
That it's not going to topple, and at a certain heat, they know what they're running into. And that always gets me, because that's how heroic they were.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? They mm-hmm. knew. He said, if you're a firefighter, you know the deal.
You're going when you in run there in. To die.
Well, I think that it was a race against time. They yep. were trying to get as many people out as they could mm-hmm. before that happened.
Yep.
I have a lot more, and I don't think we're going to get to part two because we have Phil Martelli coming up at 9:30. So I'd like to keep going with this, if that's okay with you.
Yeah, of course.
Because I have a lot more, including a local Montgomery County bakery that sells Donald Trump and Kamala Harris cookies. Which one is winning in this blue county? We have all of that. Plus, Joe Biden in Shanksville at a fire station putting on a Trump hat.
Okay.
So we have a ton of stuff left. But, Dawn, can you talk to us about Piazza?
Of course. Yeah, and I was supposed to go this week. I think I'm going next week to my friends at Piazza. It's going to be a lot of – I can't wait. Do some test drives of some of those luxury vehicles. You know, we keep talking about the forecast. No rain in the foreseeable forecast. Beautiful summer days. Yes, it's September, and during these gorgeous summertime days – there's no time like the present to get back out on the roads. My friends at Piazza Premium Automobiles, they're going to help you find that luxury vehicle you've been eyeing. You've worked for it. You've earned it. Now go get it with a little help from my friends at Piazza. They have thousands of new as well as certified pre-owned vehicles from brands such as Mercedes-Benz, Land Rover, Jaguar, Maserati, BMW, Porsche, Alfa Romeo, and more. Just visit them, PiazzaPremiumAutomobiles.com. Stop by one of their many dealers across Pennsylvania, Delaware, or New Jersey, PIAZZA, PiazzaPremiumAutomobiles.com. Tell them Dawn sent you.
This year, FanDuel, in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, is giving you a chance to win big every Thursday night with FanDuel Squares. It's the same Super Bowl square game you've always known, only way better. That's because your numbers aren't just randomly assigned. You get to pick them yourself. You can pick as many as you like. You know what these things are. They're like the office pools. Unlike the Super Bowl, you know, you can actually win some money. You'll get to see the odds beforehand, and you can bet them live during the game. So it's like the office pool, but way, way, way better. So what are you waiting for? Go to FanDuel.com/Greg, FanDuel.com/Greg, and bet on squares. Plus, if you're new to FanDuel, you can get $200 in bonus bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. FanDuel Sportsbook, the official partner of 1210 WPHD, 21 and over, President of Pennsylvania. First online real money wager, only $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
Joe Biden wearing a Trump hat, right?
Yes, I did. With a smile on his face.
Yeah, I don't know what he was. I don't know what he was thinking. So he was at the. He was in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. We know where the site of where Flight 93 went down, and he was at the fire station there. And he was talking to people. He was talking to people about, you know, bipartisanship. And there was a guy there wearing a Trump hat, and Joe Biden had a hat, and he was, you know, like a president hat, and he was going to sign it for the man, and the man was like, well, only fair if you wear my hat. So he took the guy's Trump hat and put it on, and of course everybody, you know, took photos of it. So now there's a lot of different memes going around where it says this guy tricked him into putting the Trump hat on. if you actually watch the entire clip, which Phil is 6B, Biden knows what he's doing. Like, he knows he's putting it on.
Mm-hmm.
I question the smartness of that.
Right.
But this is the, you know, everybody sees this one clip of a guy handing him the hat and he puts it on. It's like, Biden was duped into wearing a hat. He wasn't, though, if you watch the entire clip. 6B, Phil, if you want to roll this, go.
Trump, I'll give him my presidential hat. Presidential seal on it.
You want to autograph it?
Oh, sure, I'll autograph it.
Huh?
Yeah.
Do you remember your name?
I don't remember my name. I'm slow.
Oh, you're an old part. You're an old part.
Yeah, I know, man. I'm an old guy.
And you're an old part,
right? I know you would know about that.
What?
I'm being old.
Oh, I know.
All right.
I'm a young timer.
It reminds me of the guys I grew up with. There was always one in the neighborhood.
Yeah. Well, I'm the only one.
There you go, man. I need that hat.
You want my autograph?
So we have three hats total.
You know my name.
Like musical hats.
Come on.
I ain't going that far.
Yeah. There he goes.
So there he puts it on.
There it is. The official endorsement of Joe Biden. Vote for Donald Trump as he puts that hat on top of his 627 hat.
Now I will say this. All right, you can stop it. Now, I will say this. This is why I despise social media, because if you just look at the 3-second clip of it, it's like, he was tricked into putting on. He doesn't know what he's... He knew exactly what he was doing. Yeah. Now, the wisdom of him putting it on for the photo op... I would have, if I'm the White House, because the White House immediately released a statement, which you know, for cleanup duty. Mm-hmm. They said, as a gesture, he gave a hat to Trump, to a Trump supporter, who then said that in the same spirit, POTUS should put on his Trump cap. He briefly wore it.
So, cleanup aisle 3, yeah, Pop exactly. Pop had a spill, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. My thought, my question is, if you're Kamala Harris, you're probably, and yes, I know it was in jest, he's being a good sport, you know, a little hat exchange. But if you're Kamala, do you want to see that? Probably not, right? Along the lines of what you're thinking of whether that's a sound thing to do. I'm not so sure about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't be too happy if I was the Veep.
But I think Joe Biden is keenly aware that, you know, this is Somerset County, right? And Trump handily won this. He's in Trump country.
Mm-hmm.
Trump won 57 percentage points. He won this county. Biden knows he's in Trump country. This is the Joe Biden that I remember from covering him in my TV days at CBS3 and mostly at Fox 29 locally.
Mm-hmm.
And so because in Delaware, he was, you know, he's like a cousin of a local politician. He was here all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so we covered him all the time for years. This is the Joe Biden that I remember covering.
Mm-hmm.
Playful, joyful, really. And this is, I think he's just like, hey, I'm done. They put me out to pasture.
Oh,
I'm having fun.
Yeah, he's no longer playing the game anymore, right? He's out of the game.
He's like, I'm having fun with this.
Yep.
And I think I actually think it's nice. He clearly knows that it's a Trump hat, but I also think it's a little bit of a little shiv to the party that booted him. And I think in the back of his mind, because look, the guy's got, you know, an ego, of course, and worries about his legacy. I think that he feels like if Kamala Harris loses, I still think Joe Biden thinks he could have pulled out a win.
I think in the
back of his mind.
I get what you're saying, although I do disagree. After everything that's gone on the last 4 years, and I don't wish any ill will upon Joe Biden.
No.
But I don't find you to be charming, with all due respect, Mr. President. You know, you want to say that, oh, look at me, this is the 1980s Joe, this is Delaware Joe from 1993. You know, a lot of your divisive rhetoric led to things like weaponization of government, silencing of people's First Amendment rights. You know, Donald Trump got his ear shot off. So, you know, and where I draw the line, and I understand why you do it, is 9/11. I'm okay with Trump and Kamala shaking hands on that day for that moment. But like that moment there, yeah, I know some people are yucking it up, and Don, you're talking about, you know, that's the Joe I used to know. But dude, like, you know, after the last 4 years, you know, just because you wanted the other guy out so bad, I mean, you kind of crossed a lot of boundaries, right? I mean, you claimed that Trump was the divider and you were going to unite the nation. You know, black backdrop with that red light, that angry speech. I don't really have a soft spot. I don't wish any ill will on Joe, but I don't have a soft spot in my heart for Joe.
But is this his way, I mean, of signing hats and shaking hands and being very friendly with clearly people who did not vote for him and are MAGA supporters and are not in the closet about their support for Trump? Is this, in a way, his sort of mea culpa for that I still am horrified by that speech he gave here in Philadelphia with the two U.S. Marines behind him lit up in red, saying those MAGA. Remember right. how he said yeah. MAGA, like as if you were a maggot or you were evil. Yeah. Is this his mea culpa?
Well, I mean, maybe. But, you know, again.
To say, I don't hate you guys.
And I'm not going to, like, say I hate Joe Biden. I hate the way he was politically. I don't hate him personally. Again, I don't want the guy to die or anything. I don't wish ill will upon him. Well, you know, after the last 4 years, it's like, you know, I mean, I get it. Yeah, Trump came in and rattled your cages. He shook up the establishment, the whole bit. But, like, you know, that divisive rhetoric, like when you start calling him Hitler, that leads to the crazies like on July 13th. And again, it's, well, Thomas Matthew Crooks was really an equal opportunist. Whoever came to his area politically, he was going to shoot regardless. I don't believe that. I don't believe he was going to shoot Joe Biden. If Joe Biden was in Butler, PA on July 13th, I don't believe Thomas Matthew Crooks climbs a shed and gets on a roof.
To me, it proves to me that you said rhetoric, it has always been a big show, and that Joe Biden didn't mean it, and that what you have here before you right. on the side of the Democrats, whether it's Biden or Kamala Harris, it's the say anything party. They will say anything just to get your vote right. and to get to remain in office and yeah. to remain in power.
And remember, I'm glad you say rhetoric. I know I brought it up. You commented on it, but I'll comment on it a little bit further. Remember, right after July 13th, there was a lot of people in the media saying, you know, maybe we need to de-escalate this a little bit, right? We got to dial back the explosive rhetoric, like, you know, going to the point of call. I mean, it's just, and I don't want to relitigate it again because it's so absurd that you even have to try to, you know, compartmentalize this and actually, you know, break it down. Donald Trump's not Hitler. Okay.
No.
So get back to me when he kills 6 million Jews and then you can call him Hitler.
But going back to, you know, the gentleman, Mike, who called and who's a longtime Democrat and has voted is now going to vote for Trump. Look at the economy. He made the comment, and this is what wins. He made the comment that nobody thought that when DJT got into office, even if you voted for him, no one could have imagined that his policies, which were quite simple, just made our economy soar in historic ways. And everybody was lifted up, every community, no matter what business you're starting, no matter who you are. Because remember, the greatest tax on all of us is inflation right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so for Biden, remember, he wants to raise that when Trump came in, corporate tax was 35%. Trump took it down to 21%. And that just made us flourish and made companies and corporations stay here. He did other things, too. Biden would have raised it back up to, 38%. Kamala Harris still wants to raise it greatly. That is a game changer right there, that in and of itself.
Mm-hmm.
And then as well, Harris in her policies wishes to raise taxes. Now, she says it's not for anybody under 400 grand, but still, when you're raising taxes, what does that mean on people over 400 grand? That means that they're not going to be spending what they did. That's still an ill effect mm-hmm. on our economy yeah. overall.
Yeah, it's a side effect for right? sure. No doubt about it.
Richard Notaro writes, in one of his lucid moments, Joe Biden putting on the real Donald Trump hat on is his giving the finger to Kamala Harris and the Obama side of the Democrats for forcing him out.
Yeah.
I said the shiv, mm-hmm. but yeah, that's...
Yep. So there's a bakery in Montgomery County. Actually, this is right on the border of Montgomery and Bucks County in Hatboro, Pennsylvania, called Lochelle's Bakery. They've been doing this for the last couple of years where they make Donald Trump cookies and Kamala Harris cookies or whoever. You know, they made Joe Biden cookies. I think they made Hillary Clinton cookies, too, in 2016. Actually, I think Eric Trump went to this place a couple of years ago. So how is the how are the sales going for each, for Kamala Harris and for Don? Now, again, We're not saying that this is indicative of how this area is going to vote. Montgomery County, pretty solidly blue. I think you can. We can all agree on that. But
where
I think
where their taxes have gone up twice.
I think it's interesting. I think it's interesting to see Montgomery County will be blue. It's going to be blue. It's going to stay blue. I don't agree. I do agree with you on that, but I'm just saying it's not. That's not going to change anything.
Yeah.
So where are the cookies? Who's outselling more? This is the this is courtesy of CBS 3. This is cut 4. Phil, go.
And to politics and pastries, one bakery in Montgomery County is serving up something sweet ahead of tonight's debate. Our Ross DeMattei is live in Hatboro this morning. Good morning, Ross. So what's the story on these tasty treats?
Well, good morning to you, Jim. So a lot of people are having debate watch parties tonight, of course, and you got to worry about the spread if you're hosting, right? So what better snack to put out than election cookies? So that's why we came here to Loschel's Bakery in Hatboro, and we're hanging out with Kathleen Loschel, the owner. And so this has been your number one seller for quite a while, and it's not your first time doing this. Let's show off the cookies first of all. Can you describe the flavor? We didn't actually get into what they taste like.
It's a sugar cookie. It's made with all butter. And the only thing different is the color. There's nothing else different.
Identical, except the color difference, of course.
Yes.
Former President Trump in red, Kamala Harris in blue. And these have just been flying off the shelves, right?
Well, you've seen it yourself this morning. Like, people are having debate parties. They want to get involved. They're making fun of it.
They're definitely having fun with it. So you've sold thousands already, and I know you've baked thousands in preparation for tonight. Yes. Everyone wants to know, what do the sales maybe tell us about who might win the election in November? Well, talk to me about sales.
The sales, the red is leading by a lot.
By a lot.
By a lot.
We got the tally board over
here. It's a cookie landslide.
You're new to see it, but almost by 4,000 cookies.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
That's tremendous. Tremendous for us as a small business to produce this and sell this as well and see the faces that are coming around to buy these from all over.
Absolutely. And just to stress this, that is not a typo. Former President Trump with more than 4,000 cookies sold. Current Vice President Kamala Harris with only about 400. So Harris voters got some work to do if they want to boost their numbers here. But again, we want to stress, we've been saying this all morning, you guys are not politically driven. I know you take a lot of flack online especially. Talk to me about your motivation here. You're just trying to do business.
I'm a small business, and prices are really high right now. Like, we're seeing increases daily on eggs and butter. And
interesting.
So these help get people in the door. They want the cookies. They want them, and they buy other things. They're not just here for that. They're buying donuts. They're buying cakes. They're buying cupcakes.
Oh, so look at that donut.
Why not give the public what they want? Like, they want the cookies.
I'm with you there, and like, they taste delicious.
Yeah. Oh.
So debate night tonight, of course, is...
All right. It's brilliant. It's brilliant marketing, by the way.
Yeah. Yes.
Brilliant. And by the way, as somebody who's gone there many times, their pastries are amazing.
Okay.
Amazing.
So
I would totally right. They're not a sponsor. They should be, but they're not a sponsor. But they are.
Well, if they want to host a Kale and Company,
it's a fabulous place.
They want to host a Kale and Company debate watch party and provide cookies. You know, I'll hook you up with a couple of guys down the hallway.
So Phil Almquist has the new total. Is that correct from after the debate? What the new total is, Phil? Can you put that up there? You said you have a new total.
There it is, 4202 to 402. It's a cookie landslide.
Oh, my God.
It's a sugar sweep.
Wow.
Trump for the victory at Michelle's Bakery.
Yep.
By the way, those donuts look fabulous. I've got a hankering for one now.
Yeah.
I just take a quick break and make a zip up to Hatboro, swing by on my way home.
That's the Tally Tuesday.
Yeah.
Oh, so it does not affect the sales for the debate. So we should check back in with them and just see where their totals are.
Okay.
4,202 to 402. Wow,
how about that?
It's a big
That's
a big
deal. By the way, in general, are you a fan of the sugar cookie?
No. Absolutely not. No, I think they should make
chocolate
them.
Chocolate chip.
Yeah, I think they should make them chocolate chip. I agree.
I like a peanut butter cookie, personally.
Ugh,
yeah, like, I'm more peanut butter than chocolate chip.
A communist.
I am. All right, let's squeeze a call or two in here. Let me bring in let's try Karen in Philadelphia, line one. Karen, you go right ahead.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
I'm well, Karen.
I'm driving. I hope you can hear me. I was just going to comment on the debate, and I thought Trump was Trump. I don't think he lost. I thought he was just Trump, and I don't think the needle moved either way for Harris or for Trump. But what I do want to see is Trump fans getting T-shirts that say, "They're eating the dogs," because it gets under everybody's skin so bad that he said that, but nobody cares about the dogs. Nobody cares about the hunters. They just don't care. All they care about is ridiculing Trump.
You know what's funny, Karen, and thank you for the call, and I appreciate you for hanging on for so long. So my mother-in-law had to come down last night. She was having some printer problems, so she drove down, used my wife's office printer at the house. And she was driving back home, and she doesn't have an easy pass. So instead of going up the Northeast Extension, she went back up 309. She had just left 10 minutes ago, and she calls me. I'm like, what could she possibly want now? I just had to deal with my mother-in-law for 2 hours. Like, I'm like, is she in an accident? Like, what? So, I'm embellishing a little bit. But, like, you know, I answer it, and she goes, I'm on 309, and I just wanted to let you know. And she's taking jabs at me, you know, after the debate, the whole bit. I've been a good sport about it. And she says there's a, they're going to eat the dogs. There's a billboard on 309, apparently. Now, this is closer towards the Lehigh Valley of 309. I'm guessing this is probably right as you get closer to Quakertown.
The Quakertown, like Souderton area?
Yeah, maybe. Even a little further up, like into Richland Township.
Yep.
And they've already got a billboard up about it in less than 24 hours.
It's smart.
Which is pretty remarkable.
I hate to say it, it's smart.
Yeah.
It's smart. You know what I mean? And here's the other thing, too, is that, like, I love how the debates don't matter. Like, a debate knocked out a former president 3 months ago. You can't not say that a bad debate performance doesn't matter. It does.
It does.
It does.
Yeah, it does. It does. We're looking at polls. We're not seeing much movement, but again, and keep in mind, too, I'm trying to go back to the polls post June 27th. I know Trump was ahead, but it's not like all of a sudden it was like 60-40. It was a couple of single points, maybe 2 points, three points. But you just saw the optics of it. Like, you knew that was it for Joe. He was so bad, and Trump was so disciplined that they forced the Democrats' hands to do the installment. And, oh, by the way, subvert democracy. Because, as again, say what you want about Joe, the guy got 95% of the vote in the primary, and they still kicked him to the curb, which is maybe why he's wearing a Trump hat now. let me grab one last call. Ed is in Delran. Ed, you go right ahead. Good morning, Eddie. How are you, pal?
I'm sitting here eating my Apple Jacks, getting the facts, listening to Nick, Dawn, and Greg. And I got a question for Dawn, since she's probably a fashion faux pas. That is, Dawn, did you notice those big round earrings on Kamala? You got to really study it. When you see her tilt her head different ways, she's got these big, they almost look like microphones.
This is a theory, conspiracy theory that's going
started
viral.
By Laura Loomer, by the way.
Oh, was it?
Since we're throwing out facts.
Are they Tiffany earrings, Dawn? My wife said that they are Tiffany, high-end Tiffany earrings.
They look like Tiffany earrings.
Okay. And my wife can't afford Tiffany earrings, nor does she wear earrings, but I showed her the picture. She goes, oh, yeah, they're Tiffany. So, but you're, Dawn, as Ed asked you, you're the fashion person, so I'll let you answer it.
If somebody was going to feed her information, they should have done a better job of feeding her, like, you know, facts about policy. You know what I mean?
Well, and to that point, if those were earbuds with somebody in a truck in an alleyway giving her the answers to these, why was she so bad on the economy right out of the gate? I mean, she didn't even answer that question.
I know.
So,
I don't know. I think the truth is, it makes no sense. They're saying microphone. That makes no sense. If you were going to sneak an earpiece, there are little, you know, ear listening devices that you could put way up in your ear canal.
Yeah, like hearing aids.
Right.
Yeah.
So you would not wear it out on an earring, and it wouldn't help her to have a microphone. That doesn't make sense.
I feel obligated to play it.
Can we stop getting our news from Twitter? you mean something on social media is not true? The hell you say?
So I have to say, you know, earpieces obviously not allowed during the debates. Google data showing searches for Nova H1 and Nova earrings that had spiked.
If she had, to be honest with you, if she had a microphone or an earpiece, she should have done better than she did. You know what I mean? Like,
yes. And you know, keep in mind, too, remember what she is. She's a rehearser. She's a crammer. She's one of these, you know, she's like that college student, the memorizer. Who you put her in, behind closed doors for 3 days, memorize the textbook, and she can come out and regurgitate it. But if you get her off course and have her try to be quick-witted on the fly, like doing a talk radio show live for 4 hours a day, 5 days a week, she would crash and burn. And I think that's why you didn't see her for 5 days, because she was just memorizing everything verbatim. And still didn't do that great at it, by the way.
Nope.
But they kind of do look like the Nova H1 earrings. So if I had never heard of Nova H1, I think this is actually a brilliant marketing move by this company.
Agreed. They probably planted it in Laura Loomer's brain.
But they're actually pretty cool.
God. I'm so tired.
About $300.
855-839-1210 if you want to jump in. Do you want to continue with more cuts on the other side?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I do, actually.
Okay, very, very good. We'll continue with more cuts as we riff on a lot of the commentary post-debate and everything that's still going on. We'll get a big three and the movie clip.
Just have so much that we didn't get to yesterday because of the debate. So.
I know. Yeah. All right, we'll do that. And then former St. Joe's coach, the great Phil Martelli at 9:30 on a great opportunity for a great cause for you. We will explain 30 minutes from now, back after this with the final hour on a Thursday.
You've heard me talk about Chapman Windows, Doors, and Siding. I think the world of the Chapman family team, Mike and Mark Chapman, two brothers, local, Chester County, started their business decades ago. And as their business has grown, their family has grown. They're just great people who I trust. If you're thinking of updating your front entry door, right now is the perfect time to do this, especially because for the entire month of September here, Chapman is offering free hardware on a new front entry door up to the value of $500. An updated front door, obviously, it's going to change the curb appeal of your home, boost the beauty and the resale value, and you're going to love it. It's like a little mini makeover. It just gives the house a whole refreshed look. So whether you're looking for a single door, double door, or what about a door with side lights, that's what I have. It's just so beautiful. Their experienced project consultants are going to help you choose that perfect new door for your home. So if you're looking for windows, doors, siding, shutters, hardware, front door, give them a call. You can text 610-431-8898. You can check them out online. Take a virtual tour and just see the lovely before and after photos. I think my house is in there too. ChapmanWindowsDoors.com for all the details. ChapmanWindowsDoors.com. Tell Dawn sent you.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.